blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Hello, dear friends, beloved of God. Welcome to St. Stephen's today on this very warm summer day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are delighted that you are here to worship with us. Would you join me in today's call to worship? You call us to service, to be your eyes and ears, hands and voice in this, your world. To open our eyes not only to the beauty and love which you create, but the injustice, hate and suffering that mankind generates. To open our ears not only to the chattering of this coming week, but the searching, fears and questioning of all whom we shall meet. To open our hands not only to those we choose our lives to share, but in welcome, love and fellowship to all who you draw near. To open our mouths not only to speak platitudes and simple words, but the truths you lay upon our hearts, your word for this, your world. You call us to service, to be your eyes and ears, hands and voice in this, your world. And as we light our candles for this week, coming into worship, let that be our prayer, that Jesus will illuminate His word in our hearts. Please pray with me. O Lord, our strength, in this time of worship, we pray that you give us faith enough to see you moving in us and through us, that we will be encouraged and equipped to go forth into this world, showing and speaking your love and grace to all we meet. We pray in your strong and mighty name. Amen. And let us come to the seat of mercy, knowing that Jesus has already forgiven our sins, yet we still bring them. We bring them to confess, not just for him, because he already knows, but for ourselves. Let's pray the prayer of confession. O Lord, you are our shepherd, and yet we want. We lie down when we could act. We stir the pot when we could offer peace. We wander tempting paths instead of following you. We see courage and comfort in earthly things rather than in you. We hate our enemies and refuse to break bread with them. We see scarcity even when you offer us abundance. We ask for your forgiveness for all of this and for your goodness and mercy, so that we might dwell in you and in your grace forever. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Hope in God, for God's love has no end. God fills us with grace and with hope, today and forever. God hears our voice, God listens to our prayers, and God is redeeming us from all of our sins. This is all part of what is the good news that is ours in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, and I'm reading in chapter 6, verses 14 to 29 from the Good News Bible. Now King Herod heard about all this because Jesus' reputation had spread everywhere. Some people were saying, John the Baptist has come back to life. That is why he has this power to perform miracles. Others, however, said, he is Elijah. Others said, he is a prophet, like the one of the prophets of long ago. When Herod heard it, he said, he is John the Baptist? I had his head cut off, but he has come back to life? Herod himself had ordered John's arrest, and he had tied him up and put him in prison. Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. John the Baptist kept telling Herod, it isn't right for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man, and so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday, when he gave a feast for all the top government officials, the military chiefs, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. So the king said to the girl, what would you like to have? I will give you anything you want. With many vows, he said to her, I swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom. So the girl went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, I want you to give me here and now the head of John the Baptist on a plate. This made the king very sad, but he could not refuse her because of the vows he had made in front of all his guests. So he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. The guard left, went to the prison, and cut off John's head. Then he brought it on a plate and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got his body and buried it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, remember the days when watching television was easy? All you had to do was pick up the TV guide and have a look for that night to see what among the 08 or so shows listed you might want to watch. Instead, now we have to surf through endless catalogs of Prime or Netflix or BritBox or whatever streaming app you happen to subscribe to. And it's hard sometimes in all of that to pick something. Those were the good old days, the TV guide days, when life was simpler and easier. When my husband Simon and I sit down and we try to figure out what we're going to watch next, we often end up with a drama of some sort. Although I do have to admit that not all dramas work for us. We tend to be suckers for good characters and happy endings. And I have to admit that if a show gets a little too intense, or as our Irish relatives would say, a wee bit dark, well, then we sometimes have to bail on the whole thing and we move on to something a little lighter and happier. I say this to explain why I was actually quite tempted this week to change our reading for today when I sat down to work with this story. It's a pretty dark story. It's full of morally challenging things that all lead to a rather tragic and sad ending. Honestly, it's not really my preferred kind of story at all. But alas, it is our reading for today. And if nothing else, it is good for us to remember that we are foolish if we think that the Bible is nice, safe reading material appropriate for anyone of any age. Adultery. Incest. Probably sexual harassment, maybe worse. Political manipulation and maneuvering. And of course, state-sanctioned murder. Politics, power, and sex. This part of the biblical story has it all, my friends. So here we go. As we heard, in many ways, this is actually a story within a story, because it kind of begins at the end. The reading begins by telling us that Herod, and pretty much everyone else, had heard what Jesus and his disciples had been up to, driving out demons, healing people, performing all sorts of amazing miracles, and just generally attracting a lot of attention. And all of that attention was making Herod more than a little nervous. People were speculating that Jesus was a prophet. Some people thought he was Elijah, returned from heaven. But others thought he was probably John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead. And that last option, John the Baptist, that was actually Herod's deepest fear, because Herod was the one who'd had Jesus or John beheaded. So if John was back, well, that wouldn't be good news for Herod. What might a risen John the Baptist do to the man who was responsible for his death? Well, after telling us that Jesus was making Herod nervous, Mark gives us the backstory so we understand why. It all began when John confronted Herod on his moral and legal failings. See, Herod had abandoned his own wife, and he had taken his brother's wife, quite literally, a woman named Herodias, a woman who also happened to be his niece. Well, things got uncomfortable for Herod when John named all of that for exactly what it was: adultery and incest. So Herod did what powerful people do with people who create problems for them. He got John out of the way. Remember that Herod was the Roman leader in that region, and he was a man who had some rather lofty political aspirations. He wasn't happy with being a tetrarch. He wanted to be a king. Well, he couldn't very well have John sabotaging those ambitions with all of his straight talk about Herod's failings, and so he dealt with John by having him thrown in prison. Herod's new wife, Herodias, had her own ambitions, and she wasn't satisfied with just having John in prison. She wanted him out of the way permanently. So when Herod threw himself a birthday party, Herodias found a way to make that happen. She sent her daughter in to dance for Herod and his guests. A young girl dancing before powerful men. I'm going to leave it at that. But suffice it to say that it was probably exactly what it sounds like. Well, she managed to charm her uncle, who was now also her stepfather, and he was so taken with her that he actually promised her whatever she wanted, whatever she asked for. Well, seeing her chance, her mother, Herodias, told their daughter to ask for John the Baptist's head, which she did. And as we heard, unhappily, Herod granted it. The aspiring king couldn't be seen by his powerful guests to be weak or not to keep his word. That wouldn't be good for his political future. So sadly, John was killed, and his head was delivered to the conniving Herodias on a platter. It's a sad story with a very sad ending. It's a story with lots of drama and with some very strong characters, of which two are central: the faithful John and the unfaithful Herod. As often happens in the biblical story, those two characters, those two men, they're serving as foils for each other. Herod could have made different choices. He was intrigued by John and by his preaching, and he realized that John was a righteous and a holy man. And so Herod was quite inclined to protect John. He could have done that, even after his niece asked for the prophet's head. But sadly, he didn't. Herod was more concerned with what his powerful guests thought, that they not think that he was soft or a weak leader. He was more interested in protecting his power than in doing what was right. So even though it was right before him, he didn't make the faithful choice in that moment, the choice that was clear even to him, which is part of what I think makes this story even more tragic, because it could have gone differently for both men if Herod had just found the courage to be faithful. Well, obviously, John the Baptist is Herod's foil. John had the courage to confront a very powerful man with the truth of how wrong his actions were and of how they had hurt many people, not least his own wife, his own brother, and their families. And John, he remained faithful to the end. He never relented, not even to save his own life. And as we heard, his faithfulness cost him nearly everything. Can you hear Jesus whispering those words? What good will it do for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? John may have been prepared to lose his life, but he was not prepared to lose his soul. And that's where he found the strength to do the faithful thing and confront Herod. Well, friends, as Jesus' followers, we are also called to faithfulness. And while it is not the easiest aspect of our faith to talk about, the truth is that sometimes our faithfulness might cost us. It certainly cost John. We are left feeling fairly forlorn as this story ends with that final verse that on hearing of his death, his disciples came and took John's body and laid it in a tomb. It just seems so unfair. How is that the end for such an important figure in God's story? I think this gives us a little sense of what Jesus' first disciples might have felt in those first couple of days after he paid the price for his faithfulness. Did the bad guys really win? Well, we know that they didn't win, did they? Despite how it seemed in those dark moments, in the shadow of John's death, and even in the shadow of Jesus' death. Yes, their faithfulness cost them, and both of their deaths still grieve us when we read about them. But in the words of the Apostle Paul, we don't grieve like others who have no hope, because we know that death isn't the end. Jesus' resurrection proved this. And because it wasn't the end for him, we hold on to this incredible promise that death won't be the end for us either. So even in the face of death, we're able to have hope. Hope that comes from this central belief of our faith, a belief we simply cannot do without. That the end of this life is not the end of our life. A number of years ago, I got to make a trip over to Regent College in Vancouver to listen to some public lectures. I went with Phil and Foster and with our first youth pastor, Michael Laurie. While we were sitting in the large auditorium-like chapel at Regent College, we were looking at the beautiful banners that hang from the ceiling at the front. There are five of them, and they each depict one of the major movements in God's story. The first is creation. The second is the incarnation, God coming in human flesh in Christ. The third is crucifixion and resurrection. The fourth is the coming of the Holy Spirit that happened at Pentecost. And then the fifth depicts Christ's return. Foster leaned over to me as we were waiting for the lecture to start, and he said something that has been quite formative for me. He said that in our part of the Christian church, we need to work particularly hard to not forget about that fifth banner, the one that reminds us that one day Jesus is coming back, and that on that day, all of God's promises will come in fullness. Foster's wise comment has stuck with me for over 21 years, and it came to my mind again as I was preparing our message for today. Friends, when we face hard stories in the Bible like this one, when we face hard stories in our own lives, or in the lives of those we love and care for, when we watch the news and see the horrors of such incredibly hard stories playing out in the lives of our neighbors around the world, we must remember that as forlorn as we might feel in this moment, this moment is not the end. God isn't done, not by a long shot. Yes, we all know that life can be really, really hard, and at times it can even be incredibly ugly. And that is hard, and it grieves us, because the truth is that we actually weren't created for that ugly life. God created us with something much, much better in mind. God created us for a life that is beautiful and good and whole and, yes, unending. And God has promised us that we will know that life in fullness when Jesus returns. So ultimately, that beautiful life we long for is still to come. And that is the source of our hope. It's also where we can find the strength we need to make those faithful choices when the hard moments come. Amen.
Love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed the guilty world in love. Let me all your love accepting, love you ever all my days. Let me seek your kingdom only, and my life be to your praise. You alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. You have cleansed and sanctified me, you yourself have set me free. Truth, you still direct me by your Spirit through your word, and your grace my need is meeting as I trust in you, my Lord. Of your fullness you are pouring your great love and power on me. Without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee. Of your fullness you are pouring your great love and power on me. Without
without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, we honor you as a deeply loving God who we can trust to walk with us through our daily lives. We give thanks for the lushness and beauty of personal gardens and of nature in its continued diversity. It is at its peak right now, and as the heat has steady impact on nature, we ask that people be given the means to keep cool, both indoors and outdoors. May animals also be given a way to find cool relief, as well as water. We give thanks for those people in our congregation, as well as a larger community and extended family, who are healed or recovering quickly from extended illness. We ask that all who are coping with new diagnosis of illness be given your comfort and peace, as well as courage, that they are able to come to terms with their new reality. May those who are grieving be given new hope and vision in the days ahead, as well as an understanding of themselves that is transformative. Open the hearts of those who are struggling with abuse or addictions to a deeper, richer understanding of what it is to rely on the ever-loving presence of the Lord and to trust that He is reliable in all situations, even in those times that are bleakest. May they be given your peace as they reach out to you. War continues to badger people worldwide, in Ukraine, Sudan, and other parts of Africa. We ask that those leaders of war be given and act upon ways forward of peace. May the 165 million refugees in our world be accepted in countries where they can thrive. We pray now in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Dear friends, I want to thank you for all of the ways that you give so faithfully to the life and work of this congregation. It makes all of the ministries possible, in particular this ministry of our online worship. So thank you for supporting that so tangibly. Let's pray now to dedicate all of the gifts that have been given throughout the entire congregation in this week and dedicate them to being used towards God's purposes of redeeming and restoring this world with His love. Creator of all things, we give back to you in praise of your glory. We do not wish to simply praise you with our song and our words and our hands. We wish to praise you by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Take and use our gifts that they may serve your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning to all, and especially to our shut-ins watching our encouragement moment here at St. Stephen's United Church. I would like to share a prayer I've voiced many times prior to the Thursday community meals and occasionally on our monthly Tuesday dinner. Dear Heavenly Father, please heal broken people, make well the sick, restore happiness to those in despair. Bring those love to the lonely, food to the hungry, and peace to our world. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a short but exact prayer I use to describe the St. Stephen's United Church service team efforts to aid the works needed to make miracles happen in the name of our Lord. A little introduction to what our services all involve. The service team is responsible for raising awareness to the congregation about emerging local and global needs. This group develops programs to address identified needs. Those committees under the service team umbrella include the outreach, mission and service, community meals ministry. Our team is continually looking for new opportunities and ways to serve God and each other. The different committees under the service team umbrella include the outreach, which comprises of the Island Crisis Care Society, the Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, and Vancouver Island Health. Attend weekly to offer services to the guests of Community Meals and their respective clients. The Thursday Boutique provides a free seasonal clothing and basic hygiene items for guests in need. The mission and service work of United Church of Canada across the country and around the world is funded by the Missions and Services MNS Fund. MNS works include, but is not limited to, ministry support, global work, outreach work in Canada, justice, environmental advocacy, partnerships overseas, to name just a few. Ideally, a team member is responsible for raising awareness within our congregation of the importance of this mission. Community Meals. This ministry began in 2006 as a weekly lunch offered to everyone in the community. It has quickly evolved into a ministry that not only feeds the hungry, but provides fellowship, compassion, prayer, and love for all those who come. The Community Meals has expanded to offer a monthly dinner in addition to the lunches. This ministry is funded by generous donations from the congregation and community. Values include prayer, grace, hospitality, community and fellowship, and safety. To make this all work, our service team relies on a volunteer force consisting of congregation and community members. They all bring skill sets to the table. To name a few examples as to the diversity of these prayer answerers, we have teachers, nurses, accountants, carpenters, community service workers, management, farmers, scientists, administration, and even stay-at-home parents, all involved in our volunteer force here, sharing their skill sets. Supporting the St. Stephen's United Care Service teams can happen in a number of ways. Volunteering, donation of foodstuffs, seasonal clothing, personal hygiene items, sharing a skill set, a cash donation specifying service supported, and of course, the desire to share fellowship, prayer, advocacy for our community are all different ways of supporting this mission. So in conclusion, I would like to end with our serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Friends, God has graciously met with us in worship today, reminding us of his love and reminding us of the hope we have because of Jesus. So go now, go forth in the name of God the Creator, whose awesome strength empowers us. Go in the name of Christ the Redeemer, whose tremendous love transforms us. And go in the name of the Holy Spirit, whose gentle presence guides us this day and every day. Amen.
Sacrifice of grace, though he dies, yet shall he live forever. And here we stand, O God, as trophies of Spirit born, though we die, yet shall we live forever. There is no condemnation now for those who put their trust in you alone. We worship you, O Son. Heaven's Prince of Peace, though he died, yet shall he live forever. And we shall stand, O Lord, before that throne of grace, bought by your redeeming love, purchased by the blood. Though we die, yet shall we live forever. Take us from you, Son of God. There is no condemnation now for those who put their trust in you alone. We worship you, O Son.